You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network here with you. Matt Modica, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman, along for the ride here. We appreciate you having you aboard. And let's get into Ezekiel Elliott a little bit, gentlemen, because we've been waiting for a while to try to figure out where the right place to take Ezekiel Elliott was. And oddly enough, Matt, the right spot in both of the expert drafts that we were participating in over the weekend was actually in the same exact spot.
Yeah, and it makes sense. At that 211 pick, you know, you have Le'Veon Bell. And right before the turn, you don't want to give the guy who's got the 2-3 turn. He's probably going to take Elliott there. He's not going to come back to you. So by having a Bell or a Johnson, it does give you that leeway. It does, you know, allow you to take in some water and still be able to rise above it. So, yeah, I even thought about him on the one on the turn. We took Michael Thomas. I went with DeMarco Murray because DeMarco Murray is supposed to be on the field for the whole season. But Elliott was in the back of my mind in this league just to take, you know, get that guy, survive the first 6 or 7 weeks, whatever the hell it is, and then go forward.
Corey, were you surprised to see where Elliott ended up?
No, I think that's about where he should be going. But now here's the thing. Do the people in the other side of that league begin to play defense on those two teams with David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell owners and not let them get Zeke and get that tremendous advantage going down the stretch? So it's kind of the way you got to play it out in your own draft. Now, you know, Scott would always say, well, I just draft my team. I'm not worried about that.
Sure.
He would say that, but I'm more of the I'm not going to let you load up on that back end either. So, you know what I mean? So probably in that 2-6 to 2-12 range, I think, is where is likely where you'll see Ezekiel Elliott. And he could go to court.
Last night, Ezekiel Elliott in the auction went for $35. That's
about right.
I think that was about right also. That was less than Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, and Christian McCaffrey. $4 more than Marshawn Lynch. And nobody else really in even close to that range. I think that's about right. My guy Lamar Miller and Joe Mixon both went for $27. So just to give you a little bit of a range where we had these guys.
I mean, what do you? I know you guys aren't. Well, at least Corey, I don't think is. But Christian McCaffrey to me, I don't have a problem starting with him as my RB1. If I wait for that third round.
No, I can't do that.
I can't do that. I can't
in a PPR format, I mean, I'd rather have him than Lamar Miller every time.
How dare you? Lamar Miller went.
Where you got him 5-11. Is amazing.
He's great. Christian McCaffrey,
that's where he's going. That's where he should be because he's a bum.
Lamar Miller went the
5-11. How do you feel, Corey?
You had Christian McCaffrey go in the middle of the third round. In the auction, you had Christian McCaffrey go as... I'll count this during the break, tell you exactly where he went. But I'm still nervous about the same thing I was nervous about before. We can talk about that in more detail. As good as he has looked this preseason, I'm really excited to see what will happen when the lights turn on for real. Stick around. Rodo Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. So we mentioned going to break Christian McCaffrey. And Matt put out the statement that in a PPR league, he has zero problem with Christian McCaffrey being his RB1 in the third round. Corey, your response?
Yeah, no.
Please turn your mic on, son.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't start my fantasy football team with Christian McCaffrey as my running back one. If I am, he's definitely not going to be my running back one in the third round of a draft. He would have to fall to the fifth, and then I would have to have two wide receivers ahead of him. So it's not going to happen for me on Christian McCaffrey. Maybe one of the auctions I do this week, maybe I buy him cheaper than RB2 if I can get him as a good price. But I want to see what the offense looks like with Cam Newton out there. I just think I don't want to let a couple of plays in the preseason shoot that value up too high. I don't think Sun's an RB1 on a fantasy team.
You know, Christian McCaffrey in the auction, for reference, went as the 12th high, tied for 11th highest priced running back with Leonard Fournette. Does that sound about right to you, Matt?
Look, I was really high on Fournette, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know, between the injury and, you know, that you try and avoid the bad quarterback for the running game and for the passing game has a major influence. So Fournette, for me, is kind of like the last guy out of that rookie class now.
Yeah.
He was probably the top guy maybe a month ago, was just on that, you know, possible 300-plus touches and all that. And now he's kind of fallen. Dalvin Cook is obviously the one that's gained the most steam. I'm still a big Joe Mixon believer. Christian McCaffrey to me, I mean, I don't – Cam or Derek Anderson, whoever the hell's quarterbacking, I think he's still going to catch 50 to 60 passes. The kid can run between the tackles too. Let's be real here. I don't see what there isn't to like about this. And if I could start off with, say, Beckham, Baldwin, and Christian McCaffrey, I am stoked.
The Panthers and Christian McCaffrey, great. I mean, the offense has looked really on point. Everything has flowed well. Everything you want to see from Christian McCaffrey, you've seen it this summer. Except for one thing, and that's Cam Newton. Because Cam Newton's still recovering from the shoulder injury. He hasn't participated in a preseason game quite yet. We'll see if he plays in the third one before the regular season begins. Corey, that makes me a little bit nervous because when this offense runs through Cam Newton, it's very different than running through Derek Anderson, obviously. Will Cam Newton utilize Christian McCaffrey how he should be utilized?
He may not. You know what I'm saying? He may not. I think we see what the kid can do, how dynamic the talent is. But first of all, Cam can't dump the ball off. So you
pay,
he's not going to. People thinking that McCaffrey is going to get this 60 to 70 receptions. Let's calm that down a little bit. 60 is in the realm of possibility, but I've seen as high as 70. I'm more into that 55 to 60 range. And then the running between the tackles, listen, I think the kid is a good player. I think he's going to be an excellent RB2 in the PPR league, but I'm not paying the third round price for that. His value is way too high right now.
For me as well.
His value is way too high right now. I like him, but I just, that offense is not kind of the offense I want to be that heavily attached to.
Like I said, in the PPR format, I'm fine. Middle of the third round.
You're good with it.
I would take Cook, but I mean, him, Cook, Mixon's going, you know, end of the third to somewhere times end of the fourth.
Yeah.
So there's another guy that is just a great value, in my opinion. I understand that Jeremy Hill looked good. Jeremy Hill's he's a dog. Let's just be real. Let's look at the last 2 years. It's preseason. Mixon is the superior talent. It'll win out. The only guy I would have some concern with is Gio Bernard.
Hey, Corey, would you rather have Christian McCaffrey or Bilal Powell?
Bilal Powell, three rounds later, easy.
Matt?
I'll take Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
I'll pay up for it. Take that, and, you know, I can get myself in the sixth round if I wanted, Theo Riddick. I'd even pay up for it. I mean, I think you're going to have, if you want Kareem Hunt going forward, you're probably going to have to pay that six-round price.
Would you rather have... I was going to say something else. Let me change that up. Is Bilal Powell the only Jet that you should own, Matt?
It's probably the only one that I will own.
Okay.
I understand there's the Robbie Anderson love. If this Hackenberg thing becomes real, it's going to be just a total dumpster. I really don't even want to own any Jets. I understand Powell. He's going to be the fact that he will be probably the running back that has the lion's share of the touches and all that, and the Jets from behind. So it is hard not to like Powell. I just am becoming more and more closer to just a total stay away.
Yeah, you know, we drafted Robbie Anderson yesterday. I think an argument can be made for him because he should be the number one wide receiver on this team. We'll see if that even matters. He has some talent, Corey. He doesn't cost you anything. Can I talk you into Robbie Anderson?
He's starting to cost a lot more now. See, I don't like where he's going in drafts right now, especially who the hell, I don't even tell you who the damn quarterback is.
Well,
put it like this, it's going to be a effing bump.
Listen to me, if it's Josh McCown, I don't have no problem owning Robbie Anderson.
Why?
I really don't.
Why
not?
Josh McCown sucks.
Josh McCown can throw the ball.
All right, okay.
So Josh McCown can throw the ball. I'm not saying he doesn't suck.
Where you buying Robbie Anderson at?
Bought him yesterday.
Where you buying Matt yesterday?
We bought Robbie Anderson in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12th round.
I can do it in round 12. I seen a draft board last night, but Robbie Anderson went in the ninth.
Jesus.
And then Robbie Anderson going in the ninth, no, I'm not going to do it. If you see me take Robbie Anderson in the ninth round of a fantasy football draft, put me in the concussion protocol.
I'll tell you what, I drafted Robbie Anderson before I drafted a quarterback yesterday. Probably my issue.
I mean, played quarterback chicken to the bitter end yesterday. You got burnt with it.
Well, the fact was, in all honesty, I didn't want to take Robbie Anderson. I wanted to take a quarterback. And instead, my idiot hungover partners were like, no. No one's going to take two quarterbacks. And then there's this quarterback
They
run.
Fell victim to, I think, not being... It's in the 20-round draft, the second quarterback goes a lot sooner.
That's exactly what it was. They fell victim to that, and I guess I did too because I didn't push hard enough because we're in the 12th round here, and I'm looking at the quarterbacks that are left, and there's two that I really liked left. One was Matthew Stafford. The other was Dak Prescott. I'm like, great. If I can get one of those two guys, I am absolutely stoked about it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you had four quarterbacks go before we had another opportunity. And it did not work out well.
If we could just rewind a second back to the Jets.
Yeah, no, like, of course.
I think at some point Hackenberg is going to get the opportunity because the GM has to validate that pick. He has to validate that pick. It's a lost season. They don't want to win anyway. And if you look back to last season and look at the Rams, who were just atrocious offensively, and Todd Gurley, who's a much superior talented running back than Bilal Powell, did nothing. The Jets, you know, he's even got Forte there as well, who I think is, you know, on the downside, obviously, sunsetting. But it's just, I don't know, man. It's just looking to me like,
I get it. I get it. There's one more name, though, Corey, when it comes to the Jets I want to bring up. That's Austin Seferian-Jenkins. Now, he's suspended for two games, but... And I know we all hate everything Matt just said about the Jets is right. We all hate this, but is there some value?
That's
in
the play I was going to tell you. It's going to be Bilal Powell and it's going to be Austin Seferian-Jenkins. In the draft I did last night, I played tight end chicken to the bitter end. Didn't like the way it came out. I mean, well, it worked out fine in the end, but I ended up taking a third tight end on that team, a 20-round draft, and that last player in round 20 was Austin Seferian-Jenkins. He suspended two games to start the season, but when he gets back on the field, they said he's been one of the best players in training camp. May not mean much coming from a New York Jet point of view, but he's going to get a chance to get peppered with targets in this offense. They say he looks like a better player altogether now, so he could be the guy that ends up being the number one option in the New York Jet passing game, and you can get him for free right now, so I'm all in ASJ. And then, and if it don't work out, you know what? You put his ass on the bench.
Yeah.
On the waiver wire. Yeah. So we can put him on the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
I waited till like round 13, 14, and I took Kent. Luckily, Cameron Brate was still there. But later on, I was able to get Austin Seferian-Jenkins. And in the 19th round, I got Antonio Gates. People act like Antonio Gates is retired.
Sure,
he's still playing football.
And
he's still going to catch touchdowns for Phil Rivers.
Yes,
well, if they can ever score.
So yesterday in the GSC, we really wanted Antonio Gates to be our backup tight end in like the 19th round.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
That's what we wanted, but he had the same buy as Kyle Rudolph. And we're like, all right, whatever. So we didn't do that. Yeah, he's going for absolutely nothing.
My backup tight end in GST is Antonio Gates. I think it was like the 16th.
Yeah, we wanted him. Round. Last night, by the way, and I get it that he's hurt because he's always hurt, and he's pissing people off because he always pisses people off. But I drafted Eric Ebron last night because he's not costing anything anymore. I'm excited about it.
I feel good about it. What'd you pay for him?
$2.
Yeah, because that price really drove down. If you can get him for $2, I would do it. You know what I'm saying, Greg? Because he could still flash and pop.
Yeah.
I just don't like what Caldwell said last week. Caldwell, like, he's got some things that he's working on and we should see, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He should be getting better shortly. And I'm like, well, what the hell does that mean?
What does that mean?
Exactly.
not what you want your head coach saying, you know, on August, whatever it is.
I gotta go find another tight end in the waiver wire now. You're not going to like my quarterback either, Corey.
Who is it?
My quarterback is Andrew Luck.
Oh. I got Andrew Luck in the draft last night.
Did you really?
Yep. Took Andrew Luck in round 10 as the eighth quarterback off the board.
Andrew Luck in an auction cost me $4.
Oh, I love that. I can do that.
Yeah.
Who's the other quarterback?
Eli.
Yeah, that's perfect. Last night I took Andrew Luck in the 10th, came back in the 13th. Matthew Stafford sitting right there.
And that was perfect. I saw Andrew Luck at $4. You know what? No one's going to buy on this. You know what? I will take the opportunity. I know quarterbacks go very cheap in my drafts, but Andrew Luck, that possibility to get him for $4, cannot pass that up. We'll come back. We'll talk more drafts from this weekend right after this. Experts Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Chilling with you here today. And I wanted to get in a little bit to Seattle. I was waiting for Scott to get here. You know.
Yeah.
And that was Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls here for a second. Because we talked this about on Friday, Corey, that Seattle has what number ranked offensive line?
32.
And who did they lose over the weekend?
They lost their left tackle.
That's George Fant, left tackle.
Now, when I talked to Scott about this, he said, well, that's an improvement because Fant was a terrible player anyway, so the offensive line is going to improve.
Right. So they lost their guy that they have
Scott
named their starting
left
tackle.
Scott is sunshine and rainbows on his team. He does it with the Mets, too.
Yeah, he's the optimistic Mets fan. He's the optimistic Seattle O-line is not that bad truther. He always tell you, they won Super Bowl with the 26th ranked offensive line. Yeah, Marshawn Lynch was on that team, dog. Relax.
Well, I drafted Chris Carson, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, drafted.
Not bad.
18th round or something.
Sure, why not? The problem is, and I like the idea, and I've said this for months, and you can kill me for it. I like the idea of Eddie Lacy. I like the idea of Thomas Rawls.
What's a good idea about Eddie Lacy? Tell me what's a good idea about Eddie Lacy, Greg.
So,
what's a good idea about it?
Can I get into it?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I like the idea of drafting Seattle's running back and an offense that wants to run the football. That is what I liked about him. The problem was, number one, Eddie Lacy is fat. Number two, the Seattle offensive line is 32nd in football. Scott can say whatever he wants about how they won the Super Bowl at 26. 26 is not 32.
No, this is true.
This is the worst offensive line in football ranked.
History.
Ranked by many, by not just Pro Football Focus, ranked by Fantasy Pros as well.
Yeah.
I believe Mike Blewett in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package is available right now, by the way. RotoExperts.com, use Sauce Mania when you check out. I believe Mike Blue has him 30th overall.
Yeah.
Like, this is an offensive line that around the NFL, expert upon expert says is terrible. And they just lost their left tackle.
Yeah.
Do not tell me this makes the offense better.
No, it's not going to make the offense better, but it's going to change the way they play football. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get, let me tell you something, Russell Wilson is going to have a lot on his shoulders this year because that team is going to be one-dimensional because with these injuries and poor play, they're not going to be able to run the football. So Russell Wilson is going to have to take that thing on his shoulder. So Russell Wilson gets a bump up because of this bad O-line, not to mention the fact Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. This team is not going to have any balance on offense. They're going to try, but after a while they'll realize it is not going to happen, and it's going to become the Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and Jimmy Graham show, and I'm buying three of them. I didn't think I was going to end up with Wilson yesterday. I don't have Wilson anywhere. Coming out of it, looking at it, you know what? I don't mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm getting down with it.
That was one of my bigger surprises in the draft, Corey, was you taking Russell Wilson where you did. This is the guy that sits here every single day and says, don't draft the quarterback. And then in the, what was it?
Seventh
round, you draft the Russell Wilson.
What do I always say, though? If you're drafting on the wrap, if you're drafting on the bend, 1 through 4, 8 to 12, you got to pull the trigger a little bit earlier because you don't want the run to eat you up. Now,
there was
no run. I drafted a quarterback thinking the run going to pop off. The next quarterback wasn't picked till after I picked the next round. So I'm like, I could have waited and got my guy Jameis a little bit later on. But for the most part, it didn't really hurt me too bad. I dropped from going for Dante Moncrief to getting Randall Cobb.
Would that have been your guy, Dante Moncrief?
That would have been the play I took right there.
So it had to bother you because he was literally the next person taking
it. He was running right off the board. Yep, right after me.
Well, I mean, for me, I loved watching the Doug Baldwin highlights from Friday night. I mean, he looked awesome.
He is awesome.
He's a baller. He just doesn't get the respect, in my opinion. Yeah, it's Baldwin, it's Graham. But there's another guy in that offense I want, and that's CJ Procise. Especially, you know, that if they can't run the ball, the short passing game will become the running game. So Procise, he has to stay healthy, whatever. He got injured and all that. But I think he's a valuable piece to this offense.
I would worry about his durability. He's really is going to have a problem staying healthy. He's a frail dude, and they're working with him as many ways as they possibly can to get him up and in the shape. They really worry about his ability to stay on the football field, CJ Procise. But while he's out there, he's going to be a ball player.
Yeah, and you're getting him after he's going after Eddie Lacy and stuff, so I'd rather have him. And look, is it Rawls, Lacy? You know what? I don't know. The guy that's looked the best, and it's not even close, is that kid Carson, the seventh round pick.
Oh,
and I'm not saying it's going to be him, but I mean, I think he's worth a late flyer.
Listen, I sure, in 20-round draft, all these guys are worth late flyers, excuse me, whatever, including a guy, Matt, like Marlon Mack, right? Because you have Frank Gore out there, you have Robert Turbin out there, but you can make the case that Marlon Mack's looked the best.
Yeah, he has, you know, he could be explosive, he could take it to the house and stuff like that kind of thing. I just, like I said, I understand the Frank Gore and drafting Frank Gore.
Yep.
I've just stayed away year after year. I'm not going in at age 34. And especially with that, with the center going down and the luck dilemma, I'm out.
You know what's funny? I actually, yesterday, I'm also extremely out of Frank Gore. And I found myself bidding on him yesterday. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Because I thought I thought at some point the price was good. I was like, I can spend $4 on Frank Gore. Why not? I just started running back. And then it went too high. I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know, at least I tried. One bit I do want to point out in my auction was Larry Fitzgerald. I went in, and Corey, let me ask you this. Who do you have higher, Larry Fitzgerald or Devontae Parker?
Say that again, excuse me.
Devontae Parker or Larry Fitzgerald?
Larry Fitzgerald still, okay. Right now, this week. Matt? This is not, hold on, let me say this right quick. This, I hate to say it like this, if you're drafting this week, this weekend, this is a bad spot if you want to have Devontae Parker on your team.
Yeah.
Because his value is going to go up this week. He may start showing up in the fifth round of drafts this week. He may start going off the board as wide receiver. I got him still around wide receiver 30 to 35 range. He can move to that 20 to 25 range. So this is when you're going to have to pay. If you want Parker, this week right here, you're going to have to pay for him.
Yeah, you know, he actually went, and this has to do with the auction, but he went very, very, very cheaply. Very cheaply in the auction.
What'd you get him for?
I didn't get Devontae Parker.
What'd he go for in the auction?
$9.
That's crazy, Greg. How did you not let that happen? How does that happen?
So he wound up going very, very late. The dude that saved all the money wound up getting him. And I was killing myself because I had Larry Fitzgerald for $16, which in a vacuum is fine. But he wound up getting Devontae Parker and Willie Snead for a combined $16. And I wanted to. I was,
that's nice.
I was infuriated. This is the dude that drafted Ezekiel Elliott as well. I was infuriated. And then I thought about it. And I'm like, all right, if I let Larry Fitzgerald go, I would have had the money for both these guys. But he still would have had more money than me. And he ultimately probably would have outbid me. I wouldn't have gotten them. So maybe feel a little bit better. But these are the two guys. This is how it works in an auction, that at some point you're going to have these guys and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, but I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, we look, I know he's old, but Carson Palmer's back. If Fitzgerald's there, there's nobody else there like last year.
Listen, all you got to do is take Larry Fitzgerald when you get the first 6 weeks and then trade him away.
Yeah, look, he's at the end of the season, the 100 catches should be. I don't see how it's not.
Okay.
Unless John Brown, you know, magically recovers and I don't know. For me, it's still Fitzgerald. Parker, I got my first share yesterday. I've had him pretty much at 36 the whole time for my rankings for wide receivers. I moved him up to 32 or 33.
He sits where for me. He sits.
I took him over at Landry. Landry was on the board in this one.
Really?
Yeah, this time I was like, you know what? I just need upside on this team. Because I had Michael Thomas with my first pick. I didn't have any wide receivers. I went Murray, Mixon, Breeze. And I really wanted to do like a Sammy Watkins and Stephon Diggs combo there. So I said, you know what, let's just go upside. If Parker can hit, I believe this is extremely talented. You got Smoking Jay, who likes to throw the rock.
Right, you called him, what was the faster Alshon? That's pretty damn good, we'll take that. Yeah, you'll obviously take that. You had in these drafts yesterday, I thought it was interesting that you got Dez Bryant that late in the second round, Corey.
Yeah. Somebody, when people start to move up the draft board, somebody has to move down the draft board, and Dez Bryant just happened to be that guy. I think what you saw in that back end of the draft that we were in yesterday, where the Sharks were kind of laying around at, when you see Dalvin Cook got pulled up the board, so that drops the player down the board. Somebody else got pulled up the board too, and that dropped.
Well, the mouse in the house.
Oh yeah, and then you had the Aaron Rodgers pick in the second round too. So when you those two picks in the second round, it's normally not there. Somebody's got to move down. It just so happened Dez Bryant was the player to move down. So this is almost back to back weekends where I've been in the draft and I've gotten Dez Bryant at like 210, 2-8, 2-9. I'm gonna take Dez Bryant at 2-8, 2-9 all the time.
Every day.
All the time. You worried about the regression with Dak Prescott? Did you see him over the weekend? I understand it was just a preseason game. Look at the footwork on Dak Prescott. Look how Dez Bryant went to get the football. It's something that they're working on this year. And they said their chemistry is still growing, so I'm not worried about him. And as far as Dez Bryant and these cornerback matchups, you don't think Scott Linehan gonna move him around the field so he make sure that his playmaking wide receiver get open?
Does the fact that they played the Colts have any, you know, look, the Colts are pretty.
The Colts are terrible.
The Colts did look Colts pretty are terrible. Terrible. I'm not saying
Scott
not
told these stories. Los Angeles Rams, week one, baby.
Sammy Watkins might finally have a good game.
I also can use that. It's funny. I went in the auction last night. I thought I was going to draft one guy, and I got him. I didn't care. I literally had no number in my head I was going to spend. I was just keep pressing the button until I drafted Michael Crabtree, which I did.
What'd you get him for?
I got Michael Crabtree. Oh, I think I have the number in mind when I get it right. $21.
That's very good.
What do you think of, since we're talking to Crabtree?
Yeah.
I tweeted out this weekend.
That's $20 less than Amari Cooper, by the way.
There are three wide receivers that have, in their age 21 and 22 seasons, 1,000 yards back-to-back. Only three. Randy Moss, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. I understand it's Crabtree. You get him later. You get good prices like you got. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, age 23, I'm a believer.
It's very funny that I'm kind of looking at my groupings for the auction. I was like very accurate, like not necessarily the prices, but like the tiers that I had. That actually worked out very, very cool. When we come back, I'm going to tell you my favorite moment from the expert draft over the weekend. It involved Corey Parson, and I'll explain when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So, my favorite moment of the draft this past weekend was I'm looking at the board of the players that have been taken. I'm looking at my board of the players that are left. And I'm sitting next to Corey, my friend. I lean over to him because Scott the King angle is on the clock. And I go, Corey, he's going to take some Samaje Perine. This is middle to late of the draft. You just take Samaje Perine. All of a sudden, Scott screams out, "We'll take Samaje Perine." I was like, "Ah!" And it's like when you sit next to somebody for this many hours,
yep,
this many days in a row. You knew. I mean, I called all of Corey's like first four or five picks,
yep,
and Corey knew mine too. It's crazy how well when we do this together every day. How well we know this stuff.
I'll say one thing about the picking Samaje Perine. I think, you know, the first couple of weeks where he pass blocking was terrible, he put the ball on the ground. The last week was a lot better. If you look at the kid, you watch him play. I'm still in on Perine. I think, you know, end of the season, he's going to be the back. You're going to look back and say, I'm happy I got him.
I think you can. And I think the people, Corey, that say, listen, you're one of them, right? Like, you're not drafted.
No, I'm not one of them. I'm not
not a Perine guy. I understand that. But people that say you're not drafting for September, you're drafting for December.
Yeah. My thing is, are you going to put, especially in the, most of the listening audience plays in 16-round drafts.
Yes.
And you have 16 roster spots. You're going to give a roster spot to Sam Perine.
You really have 14. You really have 14 spots.
Right, you really have 14 roster spots. And you're going to give a roster spot, a bench spot, to Sam Perine, who very well, you may not really see him till, you know, the second week of October. You know what I mean? The first week of October. You think you're going to see him in September? How much football is he going to play in September? How long are you going to be able to roster Sam Perine in a 16-round draft?
So much.
16 roster spots. How many? 14 damn roster spots. How long are you going to be able to keep Perine on there?
So, Jake, my response to that is, have you looked at Rob Kelly at all this summer?
Rob Kelly is not great.
No.
So why are you... Okay, it brings me to my next point. Why are you going to D.C. to get your running back?
I'm not.
Then don't.
I'm not, personally.
Okay, but in the last 14 days, we'll go to the NFFC. We'll go look at the high stakes thing. P. Ryan's got a 120 ADP.
Okay.
In the 10th round, you know, I'm fine with that.
But you have the extra roster spots, though. You see what I'm saying? So you have more room to hold on to a player like that.
In a 16 round draft last year, I wasn't drafting Jeremy Langford. I was seeing this guy go like in the fifth round of drafts. I've seen smart people. You know, people that, you know, I think really know what the hell they're doing. Taking Jeremy Langford, you know, because he was the starting running back and all that. But, you know, I was like, look, maybe I didn't have all the Jordan Howard chairs, but I didn't have any Jeremy Langford chairs because I just thought over time he just couldn't keep that job. I'm not saying Rob Kelly's going to lose it, yeah. And I understand what you're saying, but there are certain backs you're going to take. And you're gonna put on your bench and hopefully you can keep them.
Yeah, but when you look for a stash in cash, give me a situation where they're going to run the football. The Chicago Bears are going to run the football. Give me a situation where the dude in front of the rookie running back is clearly a bum. Jeremy Langford was clearly a bum. You look at David Johnson from a couple years ago. They're going to run the football.
Is Spencer Ware clearly
Johnson,
a bum?
Chris Johnson was clearly an elderly gentleman.
Spencer Ware?
That's the stash and cash right there. Spencer Ware is clearly a bum. Andy Reid running the offense, threw it in running back position. Kareem Hunt is the stash and cash.
But Kareem Hunt, you got to pay up, and now you're going
to
be paying.
I'm willing to pay for Hunt.
I drafted him in the sixth round.
Yeah, you've been talking about him. Exactly. You're going to have to pay that now.
I mean, I'm talking about getting the 10th round. I understand. I think you make valid points. But if you can hold him, he's a guy that could pay off.
I think
he will get touchdowns. I think they do want to run the ball when they are in close, but they just haven't been successful at doing that.
I'd rather put some roster spot on Deonta Foreman in Houston. He's going to be a player. His situation, they like to run the football.
So I don't agree with that. The dude in front of him is a bum.
No, you feel what I'm saying?
Lamar Miller is less of a bum than Rob Kelly
Look, I'm not a big Lamar Miller guy, but he is far superior to Rob Kelly.
Lamar Miller? What have y'all seen in Lamar Miller? Please explain to me. I will explain. Give me a yards per carry. Give me something about Miller that makes people optimistic.
I'll give you this.
You have to be optimistic. You're very into Rob Kelly, dude.
No, hold on. Forget about being optimistic. Let's just look at the fact. Let's just look at the numbers. And I am not a Lamar Miller guy. In the last three seasons, only six running backs have 1,000 yards twice. He's one of those six running backs.
But look how many times he's carrying the football. Look at that low yards per carry. That's all volume. Give me a player that can play.
Now all of a sudden,
Foreman can play.
Foreman can do.
I don't think that. Foreman can do more with less touches than Lamar Miller can do with more touches. He's just a better football player. He's going to be a more efficient back than Lamar Miller would. Lamar Miller carried the ball 30 times a game and run for 98 yards. That's volume. That's not good. Deonta Foreman can carry the football 12, 15 times a game and give me that same 98 yards. I gotta do that.
I mean, I'm not drafting Lamar Miller. I'll draft him every time where Greg got him yesterday. That's just, come on, 5'11 is insane. But, I mean, I can't totally write him off. I know you hate him.
I don't hate him. I don't know him.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah,
I know.
Not as a person. Not as a god. A child of God.
Yes, exactly. Peace be with you, brother Lamar Miller.
All I want to say. You talk about Kareem Hunt. I get it.
He's a stash and cash guy. You know. Go ahead, Greg. You got something to say?
My point was, you don't want to stash so much Perine, and that's fine. I don't want to go to DC for my running backs. But to say that Sam Perine is a worse stash than Deonta Foreman, come on, man.
He is.
He's not.
Greg, he is.
You.
They don't run the football. That's not really a part of their MO. That team is going to be a team that's going to be throwing the football up and down the field so Kirk Cousins can pad his numbers so he can get another big contract and become the highest paid NFL player in all time in a 4-year span. That's what they're going to do. I'm not worried about. I'm not going there to get my running back. If you want to do it in a 20 round draft, just like Terrell Pryor, I throw my hands up. In the 16, if you got 16 roster spots and you're going to hold on to Sam Perine until October, I don't really know if you know how to fantasy football.
By the way, yesterday you saw Terrell Pryor in the our GST draft, Corey, go right in the middle of the third round.
That's about where he should be going.
Before Davante Adams.
That's a mistake.
Yes, it is. Before Davante Adams, before Keenan Allen, for Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Alshon Jeffery or Terrell Pryor?
Let me tell you what I saw in my FFWC draft last night. Jamison Crowder went off the board as wide receiver 18. Terrell Pryor went off the board as wide receiver 19.
Really?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
In my auction draft last night, Jamison Crowder went for $19. Terrell Pryor, 31.
You see what I'm saying? That's you. Why are we doing that? That doesn't make no sense to me with Pryor. But listen, like I've already told the Pryor truthers, go right ahead. I was going to take him last night. If he'd have fell back to me on the turn,
sure,
I'd have took him. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I don't have a problem taking him in the right spot.
Sure.
I'm not overpaying for him.
Right. You're in this third round last night. And you're trying to scout as it's come back to me. Yesterday afternoon, rather. And Pryor and Adams and Fournette were on the board. Like, I was interested in all of them.
No, what happened is I had the eighth pick in the draft last night that I did. I had the eighth pick. So at 3-8, I took Dalvin Cook. Then Tyreek Hill went. Mm-hmm. Then Jamison Crowder went. Then Terrell Pryor went. Then Crabtree went, Martavis Bryant went, Golden Tate went.
Jeez.
Now I got my fingers crossed because I was thinking I might get lucky and get Crowder or Pryor on the turn. Then Allen Robinson goes, and I'm like, here we go. I'm sweating now, you know what I mean? Because this is a wide receiver too. So I need a player right here. I need a piece. And I got Alshon Jeffrey. I'm like, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Because I did not want Stephon Diggs, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins as a wide receiver too. Because I started with Melvin Gordon in the first, and I took Dalvin Cook in the third. So my backs were strong. Got Amari Cooper in the second. Now I needed a wide receiver too. And I'm telling you, Alshon Jeffrey was the last wide receiver too on my board that I would feel comfortable with.
And I get it. I completely get it. Wow, Larry Fitzgerald in the middle of the fourth round here. Man, Julian Edelman, that was a best buy of the night, I thought, last night. That was
what'd he go for?
$9.
I think,
man.
The $9 is cool. I can do that. I think he's going to bust this year.
But I know you do. Right, price, whatever.
But like at $9, I can do that.
I thought that once you go for $9, they're awesome. Larry Fitzgerald will go for $9. I'd much rather have Larry Fitzgerald than Julian Edelman. And it just I read it wrong.
You know what? A lot of smart people, including the fantasy executive on Greg, Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
You can't get behind it.
I'm in on Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can also, like Dr. A was saying.
The Dr. A thing is crazy, right?
Yeah,
it's in the back of my mind, too. They say that, you know, you saw what he tweeted? I tell you about Freeman. He tweeted, this is the week two of the preseason. He tweeted, I wish I could be out there with my brothers. And I'm like, this kid is not going to go into the concussion protocol in the regular season. No. He's going to play.
Tevin Coleman goes nothing. No. He goes $10 last night. It was nothing. It goes $10.
That's higher than I would. I can't wait till my auction.
I'm really excited for your auction because I feel like you're like underpricing some guys.
I think I might be.
But I'm excited for your auction because the reason, not that I'm more, I'll talk more about Jordan Howard in a second because I'm not super in on Jordan Howard. I know I am in on him.
Yeah.
But when I saw the first two running backs both go over 65, which is a little bit more than I wanted to pay.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Freeman thing stuck out in my mind at 48. LeSean McCoy's at 51. And I'm like, damn. Like, Melvin Gordon went for 49. And I'm just seeing these guys go off the board. I'm like,
what did Brandon Cooks go for?
I got to get one of these guys. Brandon Cooks went for $39. Not cheap. No
that's
discount.
Not cheap for Brandon
Cooks. No discount.
That's not cheap at all.
So I'm looking at these running backs off the board, and I had to get one of these top eight. We talk about, I mean, he's my top eight. I know Howard's outside, like, way outside yours, but I needed one of them. And I'm just like, damn, man. I'm watching them fly.
You know who's interesting, especially if you're drafting or doing an auction this week and you might be able to get cheap? DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray for the same price as Jordan Howard.
Really?
42.
Because you know, Derrick Henry had a couple nice runs this week.
Yeah, let's talk about Derrick Henry when we come back, because I screwed up my team, the BFFs. We screwed up Derrick Henry thing yesterday, and we totally read the situation wrong. Probably because we got drunk Saturday night. So we'll explain when we come back here in the Interruptions. So, and I think a lot of this has to do with, no, it's not an excuse, just an honest answer. I think a lot of this has to do with being out Saturday night and then moving and just really kind of getting off the grid.
I'll tell you in next break. Go ahead.
But I missed the point where everyone was going to be scorching hot on Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Because I was still doing the DeMarco Murray thing and like, listen, we drafted DeMarco Murray. I wanted Derrick Henry. Obviously, right? I mean, it's an obvious handcuff, arguably the best handcuff there is. And Matt, you and I both started our drafts on Saturday the same exact way. And we're sitting in this round, and it's round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's the 8th round. And we have no idea. It's the first pick where my two idiots are there. And I have no idea who to take. And I'm looking around, and like, we wanted Derrick Henry, and we're like, we should just wait on this. We really needed a wide receiver. All the wide receivers out there were awful. In fact, there wasn't another wide receiver taken. The next wide receiver taken was like Mike Wallace. I'm like, whatever. I wanted Adam Thielen there. They didn't really want Adam Thielen there. You wound up taking Randall Cobb a little bit later on, Corey. And it's just like, the point was, I didn't like any of the guys there. We had just drafted a tight end. They didn't want to draft the quarterback yet. It was too early. So there's nobody there that we wanted. So what we should have done if we were good owners, just take Derrick Henry, get it over with, and move on. Instead, Florio convinces us that Spencer Ware by far is the highest guy on the board. He's a starter. He's in KC. He should get touchdowns, whatever. He's our RB4. Let's go get Spencer Ware. And, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I felt like we were taking a really long time in the draft, and I felt bad. So we were kind of discussing Spencer Ware, and I just screamed out, "We'll take Spencer Ware!" Just to get it over with. And it was fine. But I was like, you know what? We should take Derrick Henry. One pick later, Derrick Henry goes. And it was just like, wow, we read this market entirely wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't kill you for taking Ware, what, in the eighth round?
Yeah.
In the eighth round, that's absolutely fine. I had the same predicament as you. Mm-hmm. I did take Derrick Henry. Blue wanted a tight end. We got Rudolph, and Bougie wanted Derrick Henry. I wanted that backfield.
Yeah.
I wanted that locked up. If I had to put Henry in as a flex for 1 week, or if something happens to Murray, I just wanted to make sure I own that. The exotic smash mouth backfield.
You'd rather flex Henry over your boy Jonathan Williams?
Jonathan Williams is going to be a thing. I'm just telling
you. I'm not just saying, would you rather flex Henry over your boy Jonathan Williams?
Henry's a better player. I've never argued that.
Okay.
Henry's
I'm glad
gone.
To see you coming over to my side.
Well, that's never been a side. I mean, Henry goes, except for this draft. I mean, Henry's going like four rounds ahead of him.
But that's the problem, though. Here's the thing. Yo, this thing right now, it's all about week to week right now at this time of year. It's all about week to week. As soon as I saw, when I was in the draft last night, DeMarco Murray went off the board on the 2-3 turn. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go with Derrick Henry. He goes off the board on the 2-3 turn as running back 11. Derrick Henry goes in the fifth round last night. So this is if you want to get Derrick Henry, this is the week right here. Don't do it, because you're going to pay a premium price for Derrick Henry. But this is an excellent week to get on DeMarco Murray because of what happened with Henry the other night. DeMarco Murray's stock is dropping. You better get on him this week if you're doing a draft or auction, because you'll be able to get DeMarco Murray for a cheap price this week.
Yeah, it didn't happen in my auction. It didn't happen in our drafts over the weekend with DeMarco Murray. But Derrick Henry is rising in a major, major way.
Yep, and Murray's dropping. And I'm like, fine, let him drop, because I'll scoop him up.
If you watch that Saturday preseason game between the Titans and the Panthers, the Titans just dominated. I mean, they looked really good.
I had somebody tell me over the weekend, they won't be surprised if you see the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I don't see how they're not going to win that division.
What is the Titans over under?
I think it was 8.5 last I seen. So, yeah, I'd take that over.
I don't know, man. That's high. 8.5's high. You win 9 games?
I think they're one of the better teams in the AFC this year.
We'll see. All right, we're going to come back. Hour number 3, live on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, of course, here on television on the Fantasy Sports Network. Matt, Corey, and I back right after this.